Join us now for an encouraging word from our senior pastor, Greg Thurstenson. Here's the message.
This morning we begin the Holy Sunday already in progress in Matthew chapter 21. This morning we begin the Holy Week by celebrating Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, an entry that was met with much praise and much celebration, an entry that would lead to a painful crucifixion and yet end with a life-changing, eternal resurrection. Easter, it just changed everything. And in Matthew chapter 21, I'll begin in verse 1 in the New International Version. It says that as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, which was, "Say to the daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit upon. Now let me pause and just tell you about the spreading of the cloaks. When the disciples spread their cloaks on the donkey, they were paying homage to his royalty. So this prince of royalty, this prince of authority was coming on a donkey. And in just a moment, we'll look at the significance of that symbolism. Now, before this, Jesus had always told the disciples to remain quiet about him. But now he is fulfilling his purpose and his prophecy. He has released them to announce who he is and why he has come. He is making public his claim to be their Messiah and the King of Israel in fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. Before we go back to verse 8 of Matthew 21, I want us to look some 400 to 500 years before this moment. Before this Palm Sunday, I want us to look in the book of Zechariah chapter 9, because it's here that the prophet says to rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See that your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. It amazes me how God knew what he was up to and what God was doing, perfectly fit to redeem mankind. Some 400 to 500 years before this Palm Sunday came to pass, a prophet began to announce this coming of a king. He not only announced it, but he wrote of it. I can't help but wonder, what are the things in our lives today that God sees? The things that he sees for us, not just today, but in the future. And even now as we're sitting here, oblivious to a future that we're going to arrive at, even now God is preparing a way for us that will celebrate him and bring to us much needed peace. So as we go back to Matthew chapter 21 and verse 8, and the conviction of the Holy Spirit begins to cause people to get up and leave, we look at verse 8 and it says this. It says, "A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven.'" It says in verse 10 that when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus." This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. This Easter, I believe the Lord wants each and every one of us and many in our circle of love to see that the king that's been prophesied into their life is now coming. That's why this Easter season, we put yard signs in the hands of many, many of you to put in the front of your yard. That's why we also gave you 5 additional invite cards. If you need a sign or if you need more cards, please see our ushers in the foyer. We didn't stop there. We felt like it would be very important to invest in a mail out and to announce to our communities around us that King Jesus is coming, the prophet you've heard about, the Messiah that was promised in your life. He wants to come into your own personal Jerusalem. You see, these signs, these invite cards, these mail outs, it wasn't necessarily for people to see us, but it was for people to see him. With a raised hand, how many of you got your mailer this week in the mail? Look around the room. We see communities all over the Clear Lake region who receive their mailers. I noticed that some of you even took a picture, put it on Facebook. So if it's on Facebook, you know it must be real. And you had even thought about coming to the church next Sunday, but I see that you've made it this Sunday. The Lord wants people to know Him. The Lord wants people to see Him. This Palm Sunday reminds us that He'll come to us when we can't get to Him. He wants us this Easter to celebrate and praise Him, and not just for the moments that are easy, but for the good Fridays that aren't good yet, for the dark moments in our life that we can't see our way through. This morning, before we pray over the reading of God's Word, He wants us to join with His Word and join with His people and take a moment to rejoice. And not just to rejoice a little, but to rejoice a lot. That means you probably need to put your inside voice away and take out your outside voice. So I want everybody to get your outside voice ready, because for a moment I want us to use our outgoing voice, and I want us to announce to this room, this property, and this community that King Jesus is coming. And we've picked up on His presence moving into our midst as we begin to see Him in our midst. We just begin to praise Him with a voice of triumph, with a shout. We just shout with a voice of triumph. Now, some of you did better than that shouting at your kids on the way to church. Now just shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. That's what I'm talking about. I did not come with an inside voice. I only have an outside voice. And that's hard for me. And it's hard for the lady that the ushers are about to remove from the sanctuary. But this morning, I want you to pick up your phones, and I want you to go Facebooking with us. I want you to pick up your phone, like many have already done, and I want you to check in this morning. I want you to check in here at Dominion Church on Facebook, and then I want you to go to our DC Facebook page. There on our DC Facebook page, you will see a special Easter post. We've learned that a few see our signs and they come to church. A few more receive invite cards and they come to our church. But we're learning about this new way of communicating through social media that a whole lot more are likely to come when they see what next Sunday is all about. So go to our DC Facebook page, check in, tell people you're listening to perhaps the finest preacher of the 21st century, amen, whose name is the Holy Spirit of God. And just share our Facebook DC post for the Easter season. Your network of friends are going to have an opportunity to see the King that is coming, the King that will be celebrated right here in 4 services next Easter Sunday morning. And with that thought in mind, I would like us as a church family to pray. I want us in just a moment to extend our hearts and our hands towards this sign. I think people need a sign in their life. I think we need a sign that reminds us that we're getting where we're going. Yesterday, as I was driving back from Dallas, even though I know the road very well, I kept looking for the signs that would tell me that I was getting closer to home. There's not any sign quite like the Bucky sign that tells me I'm almost home. How many of you have been to Bucky so many times now that it feels like home? You can't understand why it costs $5 to buy a bag of Beaver Nuggets, but it feels like home. But I think we all need a sign. I think we need a sign that says we're getting closer. We're getting closer to the goals in our life. We're getting closer to the Lord in our life. He's getting closer to us. And this morning, there are a lot of folks in your circle of love that need a sign. We've put them on Facebook, we've put them in our front yard, we've put them in our hands. Now let's put those people we love in the hands of God this morning with prayer. Heavenly Father, we just ask that You and Your message would go to places we could never even imagine, ask, or think of. This morning we pray, God, that Your message of hope and healing would get into the heart of the broken and the lost. Those that are looking, but maybe not even sure what and who they're looking for, compel them to come next Sunday and hear the message of Jesus Christ, a Christ that came for our sins, a Christ that was crucified for our sins on Friday, but on Sunday, a Christ that was resurrected. Oh God, we ask in the name that's above all names, the name of Jesus, that You even now would send Your Holy Spirit to the hurt, the broken, and the lost. Go to those who once knew you but are out of church. Bring them back and bring them home. And everybody together prayed and said, amen. Now let's get in this moment of inviting others. Turn to someone you know around you and invite them to church next Sunday morning. If you know Spanish, it might be impressive to invite somebody else back to church next Sunday in Spanish. If you don't know Spanish, just do what I do. Make it up as you go along. I was leaving my hotel yesterday, and I got in the elevator, and one of the cleaning ladies got on, and she was a Hispanic lady, and she had been very nice to me the whole time that I was there. And I felt, because she gave me a chocolate chip cookie, I must eat it to reciprocate the love and respect that she gave me. Please don't tell, oh, she's here. But as I got on the elevator, she said, Buenos dias. And I'm like, Buenos dias. And then she started going beyond. And she started going, and I'm not making fun of that language. I think it's beautiful. I just don't know that language. It's all Greek to me. Well, it's all Spanish to me. And she got teary-eyed, and what I did pick up on was that she knew that I was a pastor, and she was like, El Pastor. That much I did catch. And when she realized I couldn't speak Spanish, or English, she prayed for the interpretation right there. She said, El Pastor, pray for me. And so right there in the elevator with two or three other people just watching awkwardly, we prayed. And I prayed like my mama taught me to pray, with a loud voice and a voice of triumph. In the name of Jesus. That elevator door had shut. I had a captive audience. God, you know the time is short. Oh, God. Finished my prayer and told the lady in Spanish, ma'am, I live in the Houston area. My name is Clint DeGroote, and if you ever need anything, you just call the church. No, it was just the two of us and a couple of other people that were believers. We all laid hands on her and prayed in English, and there she just wept. God knew her need, though I did not. The Holy Spirit of God did. All she had to do was ask. Friend, that's what the Easter season is about. God gave us a day to just ask. It's an easy ask. It's an easy invitation. And next Sunday, we'll have 4 one-hour services. Well, 3 one-hour services, and then the Spanish church, which probably will go about 2.5 hours. Come on now, somebody say amen. That's what I love about us. So this morning, as we continue into the message, we must remember that this is all about a season of asking and inviting people to know the Lord. I continue to learn after 31 years of full-time ministry that long before we ask and invite, the Lord has already put in their hearts a desire to come. We're not asking you to preach a 3-step theological exhortation on the coming of the King. We're just simply asking you to invite those that you care about, and God shed His grace on the cross for each of them. We're just asking you to invite them. 2,000 years ago, the Sadducees had a tradition. They believed that the Messiah would show up 4 days before Passover. Therefore, they would keep the gates of the temple open so that the Messiah could come in and take His rightful place. Now, because of that tradition, the city of Jerusalem during this day and time of which we just read in Matthew 21, it would be packed. And the Jews that were in the city would be very zealous and very excited. The Romans would be very concerned, however, and they would put their troops on high alert. And they were concerned because they lived in constant fear of the Jews trying another revolt under some crazed religious radical. Now, this was the day that Jesus chose to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. Scripture says, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. For just a moment, I want to look at the symbolism. Because according to Eastern tradition, the donkey was seen as an animal of peace. Again, the donkey was seen as an animal of peace, whereas the horse was seen entirely different. In that tradition, the horse was seen as an animal of war. So when a king came riding on a horse into a city, it meant that he had come for war. He was bent on war. But whenever he came riding on a donkey, it meant that that king was coming in peace. On that Palm Sunday, that which we are to remember on this Palm Sunday is that when Jesus entered Jerusalem on a donkey, it symbolized him coming as the Prince of Peace and not as a warmongering king. This Easter, I'm convinced he wants the world to see him as that Prince of Peace. I think it's important this morning that I pause for a moment and give you my sermon title. That title is simply, He is Our Peace. He is our peace. In English, the word peace conjures up a passive picture of one showing an absence of civil disturbance or hostilities, or a personality free from internal and external strife. I want to rephrase that. I want to revisit that because that's something that I believe all of us look for. That's why I think Jesus is so inviting to a 21st century people of any kind. If ever there was a need and a demand and a desire for Jesus, it's now. We keep hearing about how the church has become irrelevant. We keep hearing that we're outdated, and yet Jesus has never been out of date. He never could be more in than right now because he doesn't just give us peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He's not just my peace. He's not just your peace. He is our peace. And so this is an English word that while it does describe an aspect of him, it does not capture him fully. In English, again, the word peace conjures up a passive picture of one showing an absence of civil disturbance or hostilities, or a personality free from internal and external strife. Now, I'm sure none of your families had the challenges this morning that my family used to have going to church most Sunday mornings growing up. There were three children. We were all about 3 years apart. There was a father that was more of a kind of a Sunday goer rather than a Christian, and a mom who wanted to see her family come to know God and make heaven more than any woman could ever want. My mom was the kind that if the Holy Spirit wasn't moving fast enough, he helped him. If my mom felt like we weren't getting something or we were missing something and we were falling short of the glory of God, she would make sure that in each of the bathrooms right beside the toilet, she would put reading literature from the Bible and reading literature about character right there next to the toilet. How many of you feel like I'm describing your mom? And so as I preach by myself, Jack and I will enjoy this message. My mom would turn on all the TVs in the house to one Christian television program, and she would turn them louder than our music. I'm upstairs, and it's Saturday Night Fever, where downstairs it's Sunday morning Pentecost. But my mom never, ever missed a chance to help the Holy Spirit out. And yet, on Sunday mornings, it seemed like there was Ichabod written over our house, like the glory of God had departed. Because it seemed like all morning long, all we did was fuss and argue and complain. Why do we have to go to church? Our friends don't have to go to church. I hate going to church. Mom, it's too long. Mom, it's boring. I don't understand what the preacher is saying. That was my two sisters. I usually got up about 5 for a couple hours of prayer and fasting. Walk around the house 7 times, slay a few demons before Sunday school, and then be dressed with bow tie in the back seat saying, good morning, Father. Good morning, Mother. Okay, maybe that part wasn't as much true. We were horrible children, of which I was the chief of horrible sinners. We'd get in the car and we'd fight for the spot to sit behind our dad because my dad believed in the right hand of punishment. And we knew if we got right behind him, he couldn't reach us. It's when I first realized I had some gymnastic moves trying to get away from my dad. But I mean, we would fuss and we would fight and we would argue and we'd complain and we'd talk about, oh, Julie hit me. Oh, Lisa hit me. Oh, Julie stared at me. Oh, Julie gave me a dirty look. And we would just go back and forth and back and forth. And we would be about 5 minutes from the church still in our car. My dad would have lost his temper. He would be screaming and yelling. He sounded like a choo-choo train. Choo-choo! And my mom would just be crying. And about 5 minutes before church, before we got there, my mom would turn. And she would say, "Enough!" And we knew we had pushed her to her breaking point. Then she would ask this incredible question. She would ask us every Sunday, "Why can't we have peace? Why? Why can't we have peace? Why can't you just love each other? Why can't you just get along?" One week I said, "Because we're evil." Three months later, I was ungrounded. But peace, we all need it. We get the need for it. Again, the English word conjures up a passive picture of one showing an absence of civil disturbance or hostilities. We all want that absence, or we all want a personality free from internal and external strife. I think we all come to church looking for that, hoping for that, hoping that someone will prophesy over us, hoping that someone will pray for us, hoping that this is the service, that something supernatural happens, and boom, there's an absence of warfare. There's an absence of strife. No more hostilities. Finally, my multi-personality personality is free from internal and external strife. I think that's a prayer on all of our lips and in each of our hearts. And that's the question and the prayer that my mom would often pray and ask. Why? Why can't this marriage have peace? Why can't my finances have peace? Why can't my physical body have peace? Why can't my dreams have peace? Why can't my finances have peace? Why can't I ever feel at peace? What's wrong with me? I'm not normal. I just want to get some peace. Something happens and then it just gets all stirred up in me again. So yes, friend, that is a definition for peace. But the biblical definition of peace is not limited to that definition. The biblical concept of peace is much larger in that it rests heavily on a Hebrew root word meaning to be complete or to be sound. A Hebrew root word meaning to be complete or to be sound. I want to say thank you to each of you that are sitting there, and I can feel you, and I can see you. You're like, "Come on, you can do it. Come on." Hebrew root word. Oh, now I can have peace. So this root word as a verb conveys both a dynamic and a static meaning, which means to be complete or whole and to live well. To be complete or whole or to live well. Now the noun of this Hebrew word... It sounds like back in the day when we would spin records and it would get stuck because your fingerprint was on it, and then it would go back into the song. The noun of this word can be grouped into four categories. Number one, a wholeness of life or body, your physical health. This Hebrew noun root word can also be interpreted as a right relationship or harmony between two parties or two people, often established by a covenant. The third expression of the noun refers to prosperity, success, or fulfillment. And finally, the fourth category of this word that helps us better identify the biblical concept of peace is that it refers to victory over one's enemies or an absence of war. Again, I believe each and every one of us need all of that, want all of that. We want the English and we want the Hebrew. Root word. Proverbs 16 says this, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him." Now, can I remind you, in the Bible, peace was used in both greetings and farewells. That didn't just come out of the 60s. Just because we had some chains and a cool medallion, that's not where it began. In the biblical times, when you greeted someone or was saying goodbye to someone, peace was often used, and it was meant to act as a blessing on the one to whom it was spoken. In other words, it meant, may your life be filled with health, prosperity, and victory. Can I just speak peace over every heart today? Can I speak peace over every home today? Can I just let the blessing of God flow through the Word of God? And can I declare today that your life, because of God, is filled with health, with prosperity, and with victory? May this be a day that God blesses you with completeness and wholeness, that you might live well. May there be a wholeness of life in your body. May your relationships come into harmony. May there be peace between your parties and between your people. May you be blessed with prosperity, success, and fulfillment. And on this Palm Sunday, may you take a moment to rejoice, be glad, and praise Him as God gives you victory over your enemies. And I declare now in your life, there is an absence of war. Peace, peace, peace. As the Prince of Peace, I believe He may be defined by a definition, but He's not confined. Because He is a noun, He is a verb, He is an adjective all rolled into one. He is the conjunction junction, and that is His function. He is the root of the root of the root word, and He is your blessing. He is our peace. He is our blessing of health, our blessing of prosperity, and our blessing of victory. Isaiah 26 says in verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. In John 14, he says, peace, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Therefore, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In John 16, he speaks and says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. As I finish my introduction, Philippians chapter 4 says in verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Now you got something, I got something, we all have something in common. We all carry things, we all face things, we all walk through things that have the potential to steal our peace. We are human. It's part of the journey. But the Lord says, in your something, because of what I am in you, because of what I give to you, because I don't just give you peace. That's temporary. I am peace that is eternal. And I am not their peace. I am your peace. And today I give you the peace of your puzzle that leaves you feeling before I get there like you got nothing to look forward to. But today in the middle of your nothing, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you my peace. And therefore, you will be able to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, including your things, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, now let your requests be made known to God. We're going to pause. Palm Sunday is very interactive. It was then and it should be now. I want you to take the thing that you carry that feels like a cloak, the thing that burdens you and weighs you down that can steal your peace. And as the presence of the Lord through the teaching of His Word comes into this room, I want you to take that something that's been weighing you down, and in the middle of that something, I want you to cast it. I want you to take your cloak and I want you to throw it on the pathway that God's about to walk. And I want you to throw your something and let it get under His feet and declare now with your praise that He can do all things in you because He strengthens you. And today your things could not be in a safer place because they're under His feet and He's taken authority over it. He's coming to your home. He's coming to your heart. He's coming to your personal Jerusalem. Let everything that has a breath begin to praise the Lord because God has this. He's got this. When you cast your problem, He and His peace is placed over you. And Scripture says, then the peace of God comes and it surpasses all understanding and it will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Can I remind you that peace is an emotion? Peace is the emotion of faith. Did you know faith has feelings? One of those feelings, one of those emotions are peace. Peace is the emotion of faith. It's an indicator that he's involved. I'm driving home yesterday, and something took place that almost stole my peace. I mean, I was right on the edge of it. I was in a group of cars that was driving a little over the speed limit. I got there quite by accident because of road construction. You know, sometimes you get in, but you just can't get out. And you look down and you're like, oh my, triple digit. Not quite triple digits, but. So I was in the middle of a lot of people wanting to get home. Ever have that come on you? You're just ready to get home. So I put the pedal to the metal. I put on Dancing Queen and away we went. So we are going down the road, and can I tell you, we were a little over the speed limit, and that is wrong. That is wrong. I have come to confess my sins and have a therapy moment before you this morning. I know things much worse about you, so don't be judging. If I see that judgment on your face, I will call you out right here. I will call you down, beginning with you who keeps leaving in the middle of my sermon. He's just one of our praise leaders, that's all. So we are just going, and I'm so excited. I'm making record time. This might be the time back from Dallas that beats all times. And as men, that's a very significant moment in our lives. When I pull into the Houston city limits and I look down and I'm like, oh, I did it! I feel like I should be on Wide World of Sports. Any men in the room, real men, you know, that's the kind of things, you know, as you get older, you don't have a whole, oh, the glory of God just fell here on row five. Row five, your trophy is now waiting, row five. And about that time, we're still in my story, we're still in the traffic, Dancing Queen's in the middle of it, and I mean, I'm feeling good about it. And about that time, I heard a sound that changed everything, almost stole my peace. That sound had a color, more than one color, it had a couple colors. And it was driving faster than we were. That was the local Smokey. He was coming up on us fast. So I felt the Spirit of the Lord say to me, get in the other lane and hide behind that truck. So I did exactly what the Lord said. I did not. It wasn't a truck, it was an SUV. So I changed lanes, got over there. And here he came. And I'm practicing my speech. There's the part of me that practices the speech that denies I was really speeding, or it comes up with some great story like, I've been away from my wife and family for 3 days, and my dog called and said he really misses the walks we go on. You know how your flesh gets involved, and you start justifying that act of guilt and sin and falling short of the glory of God, and you're not just about to lose your peace, you're about to lose your salvation as you try to get out of the ticket you deserve. Some of you are looking at me like you ain't never got a ticket. Sunshine here is in the League City Hall of Fame, right? So anyway, I really, truly was taught that when the police officer is in your rearview mirror, a sign of respect and safety is to pull over to the side of the road. And you know what? In this moment, the Spirit of the Lord just kind of quickened conviction in me, and I told myself, you know what? I was guilty. I deserve this ticket. Lord, I don't deserve a warning. So I'm just going to tell him the truth. Yes, sir, I was speeding. And so I pulled out. As I was pulling over, he went by. Oh, God. And peace that surpasses all understanding. I'm done. I feel so good today. Woo-hoo! If nobody else will cheer for you, cheer for yourself on Palm Sunday. So I close. Because some of you are looking at me like, oh, you already finished. You might not be done, but you're finished. Oh, it's not good for me to travel alone. So things just happen. Song. Oh, wait. It was a reminder to remind you of a song we used to sing a lot called He Is Our Peace. Who has, and I have to do this again today. For me, preaching in a church that has multiple services, it's like golf. If I don't do so good the first time, I get another swing. And I think sometimes y'all come back to see if I get any better, but mostly it gets worse. I was at SAGU. We were giving out scholarships, and a couple of the kids came up and said, "Pastor Greg, we watch you on podcast." Anyway, this song, "He Is Our Peace," talks about the fact that his peace, he's our peace. Thus the title of today's teaching, "He's Our Peace, Who Has Broken Down Every Wall." He is our peace. It goes on to say that it encourages us to cast all of our cares on him, for he cares for us. He is our peace. I believe this morning the Lord wants to just visit hearts. He's not just about visiting the city of Jerusalem. He's about visiting your personal Jerusalem, your heart. And he wants to do something only he can do. When he comes, it's going to surpass all understanding. It's probably not going to make sense. But it is going to bring healing to your marriage, healing to your relationships, healing to your warfare, healing to your hurt. Romans says it like this. Chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ." That right there, my friend, is the Easter message. Jesus came so that you and I might have peace with a holy God. 2 Thessalonians says in chapter 3 and verse 16, "Now," not next week, not next month, not next year, but now, "may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you." In Isaiah 53, how could you ever speak on the subject matter of him being our peace and not read Isaiah 53? It says in verse 5, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace, it was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed." In Ephesians 2, it says in verse 14, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and he preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." I'm so thankful for his word. I'm so thankful for his grace. Whether it's not getting the speeding ticket I deserve, or friend, listen for just a moment, or for not receiving the wages of my sin, which is eternal death, I'm so thankful for him. I'm so thankful that he is our peace and he is my peace. In just a moment, every one of you are going to have an opportunity to receive peace. Some of you sat here this morning and through the laughter at my expense, he showed you your heart. And you're that person that Scripture says, you're that person that's afar off. You have never known the Lord. Or perhaps you've known him and you've just gotten away from him. Today, he's going to visit your Jerusalem and heart. And he's going to give you a chance to just ask for the forgiveness of your sin and receive his peace. You're going to invite Jesus Christ into your heart for the first time, or perhaps maybe for the next time. And it's going to finally bring peace to your heart, because you'll now have peace with God because of Jesus Christ. Still others are here this morning, and according to Scripture, you've carried and fought the battle with sickness and disease. According to Scripture, by his stripes, he brought peace to your healing and disease. And not just brought peace to it, but he brings healing to it. Still others are here this morning, and you're afar off. You're chasing the Lord, and he's chasing you, but you're just falling short, and you just feel bound, and you need to be delivered. Something keeps holding you down, an unholy affection, an unholy addiction, but this is that moment where God gives you the strength to overcome that and leave here today with peace. You're going to leave feeling like you got pulled over by the police and didn't get the ticket you deserved, but you were let go. You're going to leave here, you're going to shake your head and say, wow, there is a God. And that God is my God. And I know him and I'm right with him because this morning I met Jesus Christ as my Lord, as my Savior, and as my deliverer. So would you join me this morning as we get ready to leave by standing to your feet? As you're standing to your feet, I'm going to lead us in a very simple prayer. That prayer is going to invite Jesus Christ into each of our hearts. In just a moment, as Pastor Clint comes, he'll help you better get connected if this is the first time you've ever asked Jesus Christ into your heart. But here, I like us to pray together. And so with heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to pray a simple prayer. I'm going to ask everyone to repeat it out loud. And together, we are going to let Jesus come to our personal Jerusalem. Dear Heavenly Father, I come in the name of Jesus, asking now for Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for my sins, to come into my heart and to forgive me of my sins. I ask him to purify me from all unrighteousness, to change me forever, that I can say with others, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Now, Lord, be everything I need to bring peace to my situation. I pray this in the wonderful name of the Lord. Amen. Peace. Now, as Pastor Clint comes, peace out. I practiced it at home. I thought that would be much cooler, but
that was very cool. If you gave your heart to the Lord for the first time, we'd love to pray with you in this altar. We'd love to give you a guide, a new believer's handbook that can help you along this process. This walk is not meant to be done alone. Amen? It's together. You're part of the family of God. And heaven right now rejoices over your decision. And so as we go, he forgot, peace out, word to your mother. But I want to bless you. According to number 6, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Go in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. Have a great week.
This concludes the message. For prayer or more information, email prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call 281-554-3600. Thank you for listening.